Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I welcome you with all my heart. I love every one of you. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're doing now, the love is unconditional. I can only love you. That's all I can do. For I love myself, and myself is all-pervading. Therefore, to the extent that I really love myself, to the extent that I love you. So I can say with all my heart that I love you, and all is well. Everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place. And so it is. I was walking in the park this morning, as I usually do with my dog, when I met a lady I've never spoken to before. We started to speak of spiritual things, and she asked me, "Robert, do you admit that God created the universe?" And I answered and I said, "Yes, I do admit that God created the universe, but I am that who created God." When she heard this, her mouth dropped.
I can imagine.
She got up and left.
She was scared.
I thought she was an egomaniac.
She was scared.
I was only voicing the truth. Did I tell her that Robert created God? Did I tell her that I, the ego, created God? I told her that I am that who created God. In other words, I am that. Tat Svamasi. Omnipresence. Absolute reality. Pure awareness. God comes out of that. I know for most of you, it's really difficult to feel that God comes out of us. For we have been brought up in the Western tradition where this is called blasphemy. We are to believe that there's an anthropomorphic deity called God sitting on a big white cloud somewhere up in heaven, throwing thunderbolts on people he doesn't like and blessing people that he does like. In other words, we have created God in our own image. But what is God? God is a word that in the Western condition means the absolute reality, Brahman, Shiva, Vishnu, all of the gods, all of the wisdom of the earth, put into one lump word, and it's called God. Yet most of us are still afraid to use that word because we think the word is blasphemous. When we use it, we'll be punished. Who will punish us? God. Then you must believe God is a human being, since he or she has the power to punish and the power to bless. There is no such God. There is a Christ consciousness, if you want to believe in Christianity. There is a Buddha nature, if you're interested in Buddhism. There's the Tao, there's Allah, and all the numerous names for God. Yet in Advaita Vedanta, we learn, if we know how to experience ourselves, that God is the creation of the mind. And it's we who create this God. But not we as Steve or Dana or Robert or Henry. That's a human name. Those are human concepts. It is the self, that imperishable self, which is all-pervading, omnipresent, that creates God. If you only knew what was inside of you, what you really were, you would laugh hysterically. You would be full of bliss, full of joy, full of happiness, full of harmony. There is that within you which is unspeakable. Which cannot be explained. It's of such beauty, such joy. When you know who you are and you call upon that, you will have everlasting happiness. This is the reason I always say to you in the end of the lesson, worship yourself. Bow to yourself. Pray to yourself. After all, to whom shall you pray? To the sky? To the moon? To the stars? Yet they also come out of you. You are the one. You have to turn within yourself. I don't know how many times I say this to you. Some of you still go home and you worry and you pray to God for help, for assistance. You pray to some anthropomorphic type deity up in the sky to have mercy on your soul and so forth. This is okay if you're in kindergarten. But once you get past kindergarten, you have to somehow understand who you really are. You are not a body as you appear. This is not you. The appearance is a lie. It's a false appearance. It is Maya. It's a grand illusion. Yet we appear to live in Maya. So why not use the best of Maya to make yourself happy? Call upon the power within you, the light within you, to relieve you of your distress, to relieve you of your unhappiness, and all the things that seem to trouble you and annoy you and bother you. Call upon the God of your own being. Better still, not call upon God at all. But rather sit in the truth. Sit in the silence. In your own swarupa. Your own reality, your own nature. Sit in that silence where you are the one and there are no others. One day you will have to do this. So why not do it now? Why keep on playing these games you're playing with yourself? Hide and seek. Believing God came out and created you, and now you have to seek God again. You don't want to play hide and seek any longer. You want to realize that God never went anywhere. God never created anything. God is none other than yourself. The absolute reality. You are that. Beauty. Everlasting joy. Happiness, peace, bliss. This is your nature. This is the only existence. There's nothing else. If you understood what I'm talking about, would you have any fear of anything? Would there be anything in this world or any place else that can frighten you or do anything to you or hurt you in any way? What would you fear? You are the one. There's no thing that can come from outside of you to hurt you unless you allow it. You allow it by believing you are a human being with thoughts and fears and frustrations. A human being that was born, goes through experiences, and then seems to die. When you stop to think about these things, it doesn't make any sense. You're born. No one knows why. You seem to have experiences. And when you get it all together, it's time to leave. Where do you go? What happens to you? You go nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Well, you have never come from anywhere. You remain as you are, pure and still. This is wonderful news. Yet you have to experience this for yourself. How do you experience this by yourself? By letting go of the other. By dropping the frustrations, the self-pity, the belief that somebody's trying to do something to you, so you have to protect yourself. You have to set up guards so no one can hurt you. Who wants to hurt you? Who can possibly do anything to you? If you do accept the fact that everything is unfolding as it should, and everything's in its right place, how can you be hurt? What power is there to come and hurt you? Where would it come from? Can't you see if the truth is omnipresent? If the reality is all-pervading? Is there any space for anything else? The all-pervading goodness takes up all space and all form. So there's nowhere where the other can come from. There's only the one, and you are that. Why don't you believe me? It's the truth. You You spoil it when you begin to think, of course. When you allow the mind, which doesn't exist, to think. How can you allow a mind that doesn't exist to think? Don't you see him making a fool of yourself? You're listening to all these thoughts that come into the mind. This is wrong, this is right, this is good, this is bad. This I hate, this I love. I want things to be like this. No, I want things to be like that. And even now I'm going to cry. I'm going to get very upset. Whom have you been fooling all these years by doing this? Only yourself, your little self. You've been playing the game of hide and seek. By believing you are a little self, a personal self, that has to work out their life. You cannot understand yet that when you let go completely, another power comes along. This power is called the self. And it takes the place of your mind. So that you seem to function correctly, and you find yourself in your right place. You find right action coursing through your veins. You find you're doing those things you're supposed to be doing. And all is well. You have to stop thinking and stop believing in a power apart from you. As long as you believe this will happen, you're creating this power. For a while, there's really no power to create, but for you, you appear to be creating a power called the devil. And then you have to kill the devil by perhaps 10,000 frustrations, saying Hail Mary 25,000 times. And the other message that these religions devise to keep you humble. Wake up. Become free. There is no one for you to attach yourself to. There is no one for you to worship. There's no one for you to be afraid of outside of yourself. For you have created all these things yourself, out of your mind. This is why I emphasize so often, stop thinking. What is the thoughts that are creative and create your world for you? Everything you see, all of existence only is here because you're here. Because you exist. Where do these things go when you are in deep sleep? They disappear. They no longer exist. But as soon as you wake up, your world becomes real to you. Your world, to where you see it, to where you think of it. When I am with you many times, when I go to lunch with you or see you otherwise, I always like to hear you talk, for it tells me what you see and what you're coming from. I see how serious you are about this and how serious you are about that. and what's bugging you, what's hurting you, what you feel frustrated about. And I cannot tell you, forget this, laugh, be happy, do not think about these things. This is all foolishness. For if I tell you some of you this, you'll be sort of insulted. You will feel funny. You'll think I don't care about you. You'll think I don't care about your problems. But I'm trying to tell you, you do not have any problems. There are no problems. Read my lips. No problems. But you may say, well, this is happening in my life, and I'm going through this, and I'm going through that. That's not a problem. It's your belief system. You have been brought up to believe certain things are terrible and certain things are wonderful. Consequently, you are living this kind of a world. Duality, good and bad. Right and wrong, up and down. Backward and forward. You therefore feel all these things. Why not let go? Do it. Do not think any more of these things. Simply stop thinking by catching yourself every time you think. Catching yourself and becoming aware of the thinker that stops your thoughts. For instance, there's a thought in your mind regarding sickness, death, lack, limitation. Before the thought becomes stronger, remember to catch yourself. And just look at the thought. That's how you catch yourself. By observing the observer of the thought. This all happens by itself. As you catch yourself more and more, you begin to realize that you are the observer, watching yourself observe the thought. And then you begin to laugh. Life will bother you and annoy you as long as you believe you are a body, a mind. Then you'll have to go through all kinds of experiences. This is the reason I tell you so often. Become yourself. Understand who you are. And understand it is the personal I that has been giving you all this trouble. By changing conditions, they will surely turn into new conditions. If you have a problem, you do not solve the problem by solving the problem. You solve the problem by getting to the source of the problem. For if you only work in the effect of the problem, a new effect will come along. When you work in that effect, a new effect will come along. It will never end. But go to the source. And the source is I. The personal I. Kill the I. And hire like the I. When the I is destroyed, you will be free. I mean, fast forward is drawing the eyes by just staring and looking, watching it, observing it. When you observe, the eye goes away. Nothing likes to be stared down. True? If you go to your friend, and all of a sudden you start staring at your friend will go away from you. They'll think you're a nut. They'll be right. But your friend will leave. This is true of the personal eye. When the personal eye attacks you by frightening you, by making you believe something is real, stare it down by just looking at it, watching it, observing it. And I can promise you it'll go away. It will not hang around. You do not even have to go through self-inquiry. For some of you think it's a lengthy process. Therefore, stare the eye down. Of course, you can only realize this and do this when you understand who you are, that you've got the power to do this. There's only one power and you've got it. Omnipotence is the only power. You are the power. So from now on, you're not going to allow yourself to be betrayed by your mind again. You will not allow the mind to tell you anything to make you unhappy or to make you believe something is wrong someplace. You will understand that there's nothing wrong anyplace. Things are just different. But everything happens for the ultimate good. Begin to love yourself. I know that's really hard for some of you to do. To really love yourself. To love the self, which is really you. Try standing in front of the mirror and making love to yourself. Some of you will not be able to do this. I bet there are people here who look in the mirror and they don't even want to look at themselves. And they can't even look at themselves for a whole minute in the mirror. Try it and see what I mean. For when you look in the mirror, see God. Not the physical appearance. See light shining from you. See bliss. See pure awareness. See total emptiness. See yourself. Begin to practice this exercise. Looking in the mirror, begin for maybe a minute, can go on to 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Look at yourself. Admit the truth to yourself. I am Brahman. I am the ultimate reality. I am boundless space. I am the Atman, the perfect intelligence, the one without the other. All-pervading, perfect self. What if you told yourself this every day? What do you think would happen? If you looked in the mirror and did this every day, you would turn into the God that you are. And you will find peace. Total peace, total love. Begin today knowing this truth about yourself. Hold on deeply to this truth. That you are the power. That God is an invention of your mind. There is no external God outside of yourself. You are the one. Know this, be this, and become forever free. The place Stump the Guru. So if we have any stumpers.
Both sides of it, it looks like.
Can an avatar help in the spiritual journey towards moksha? What is the cause of transmigration? Question number one, can an avatar help in the spiritual journey towards moksha? An avatar means the incarnated bliss of God incarnated as a human being. An avatar, like a sage, is a catalyst for your unfoldment and your spirituality. An avatar can tell you the truth, share with you reality, and by your total surrender to the self can make you the same as the avatar. In other words, if you go to a sage and you let go of everything you've had before in your mind and your thoughts and your possessions and everything else, the grace of the sage, which is everywhere present, but you've not been able to feel these things before due to the fact you were covered with all kinds of delusions, samskaras, you've been lost in samsara. When you go to the avatar and you surrender at the feet of the avatar, you are giving the avatar all of your junk, all the stuff that you've carried for so many years. You're emptying yourself out. And the sage takes this from you and exchanges it for grace. There has to be a lot of sincerity in this. The sage has to be a person who has experienced the entire truth, who is a living embodiment of this truth, of the self. Otherwise, he cannot give you anything. But where he is himself, or herself. So if you find an avatar or a sage, be sure that sage is really the self. How can you be sure? By being truthful to yourself. If you are a fraud or a phony or something inside of you that's making up all kinds of nonsense and doing all kinds of things, you will be attracted to a sage of the same caliber. And even that's good to an extent. For it shows that you're searching, and you can straighten yourself out and become a real person of compassion, of love, you'll be attracted to a higher sage. So it always begins with you, as usual. You are the one. You are where you're supposed to be right now. Wherever you think it is. Know yourself, love yourself, pray to yourself, be yourself. And you'll always be in your right place. You'll go higher and higher until you finally awaken totally, completely. And you will be free. The second part of the question, what is the cause of transmigration? The belief that you are a body. What else? As long as you believe you are a body, a mind, a human being, you're going to seem to die, and then you'll come back to something else, whatever it can be. Cockroach.
Mouse.
A mouse.
Fred.
Even Fred. You can come back as anything. But that doesn't even exist. Yet if you believe you are the body, it will happen. Because you're making it happen. You believe in these things. So you have to believe that you are the self. And start to work on yourself until you become the self. And then forget about transmigration. There's no such thing. If it is necessary to put the teaching first and not in order to become self-realized, what other reason would the mind have to do this? I'll read it again. If it is necessary to put the teaching first, but not in order to become self-realized, what other reason would the mind have to do this? I'm always telling you not to think about self-realization, but to do the work, and everything will take care of itself. When you are working on yourself, the mind will become subservient to you. You will find that you are controlling your mind. You're telling it what to do. It's not telling you what to do. Eventually it will disappear altogether. So, the mind doesn't need a reason. You are taking your mind and going, you're beginning to control your mind. You are taking complete charge of your mind. In other words, before the mind told you something like, ah, what's the use of this? I'm going to go to a movie, I'm going to go bowling. I don't have time to think of myself or reality. The mind is controlling you. But now you get to the point from practicing where you are in charge. The mind tries to tell you, let's go have a drink in a bar. And you laugh. And so all you do is laugh at your mind. And it slowly disappears. It slowly dissipates, goes away. You are controlling the mind. And then the day comes when the mind disappears completely, totally, absolutely, and you become free. Robert, on the very highest level, dhyanis exist. If reality were a pie, what percentage of it would you be?
Look at me.
The word yani, moksha, self-realization, are words at a human level to try to make you realize that there is a place which is a real home, and this place is a silence where there are no words, only total silence. This silence is the freedom you're looking for. The names we give it, moksha, liberation, self-realization, are willing to make you understand that there's something else. This is why I say to you, do not go after the self-realization. For you already self-realize, you're already that. There's nothing to go after, there's nothing to search for. You are that already. Be that. Now, if reality were a pie, what percentage of it would you be? To whom are you asking the question? To the yani or to the ayani? If the ayani answers a question like this, it will not be ayani. There is no pie. There never was a pie. There will never be a pie. There are no percentages. These things are for the ayanis to discuss, to argue about, to debate. There has to be a mind to accept things like this. You see what you're doing? You're getting involved in percentages.
There's no percentage in that. We all know that.
Be yourself. Be the whole pie. Robert, when you say everything is pure, then where does free will come in? For whom is preordination? Again, preordination is for the person who believes they are a body. As far as I am concerned, you are totally free of that. You have total freedom. Stop thinking that everything is preordained. It's only preordained if you think you're human, that you're a body, that you exist as a person, place, or thing. But if you do not feel this, if you do not do this, where does preordination come in? There is no preordination. I'll tell you this sometime to make you understand why you feel that you will exist as a body. Because it was preordained that you come back here. But you do this all yourself. The freedom you have is to realize that nothing is preordained. And you do not react to anything. When there's no longer a reaction from you, then preordination does not work any longer. As long as you walk around as a human being, everything appears to be preordained, everything. But when you ask yourself, to whom does this come? For whom is preordination? You will become totally free. And the words will not exist for you at all. Therefore, think who you are. Clyde's right.
Is it because we are the one that we are free will?
Of course. There's only one, that one is you.
And then when we get our ego out of the way, if we're not operating from the ego, we're always operating from the one. And then we never have to worry about what we do because we're always doing the right thing.
Exactly. Will is the same as preordination.
Well, I mean, either no will or free will is no will.
Unless you leave me in your will.
There's just nothing else to call it, though, but that which happens.
Yes, Jonas is correct. There is no free will.
Yeah.
There's no realization, there's no moksha, there's no delusion.
What I meant is we, as egos, we always want to imagine that we're free to do what we want. So we
yes.
Say that when we give our ego out of the way and we accept what is happening, that is free will because we're doing what we want, because we always want to do the right thing.
We have to be real careful against these areas. Because if a new person is coming in there and never heard this before, they will believe they get the free will to hurt other people, to do all sorts of things to others. You have to be very careful and think about these things. The reality is there's no free will and there's no preordination. There's only the self, the one. But when you think about being bound, then you also think of free will. You see, they both go together. The bound one thinks of free will to release him. But the person who's not bound, there's no free will.
When Christ said, "Thy will be done," that's only really an untruth in itself, because there really is no thy will.
Well, he was referring to the reality. To be the reality. Thy will be done.
Right, but there is no thy will. There's no such thing.
There is no thy will, but he was referring not to thy will. He was referring to reality. Let reality be reality. That's what it means.
Right.
The reality is the reality. But to make it known, he said, thy will be done.
Right, it's only a partial truth.
Don't take the words literally.
Right.
Thy will be done means things are the way they are. Perfect, pure, the self. Robert, the personal self looks for liberation. If the small I is a concept, how it starts all this process of seeking? The small I does not exist. In reality, never existed. It does not exist now. Everything begins when you wake up in the morning. That's the time to grab a hold of yourself. Do not allow the small I to take over your life. by waking up in the morning and start worrying and thinking about your job and thinking about your family and thinking about your clothes and your breakfast and everything else like that. That's the time to catch yourself. That's the time to realize I am Brahman. I am the imperishable self. There is no personal I, there never was and there never will be. There is only the pure awareness, and I am that. Admit this confession to you, to yourself in the morning when you get out of bed. Then there will be no concepts, and there will be nothing to start. But if you don't do this, then the personal I will begin the day for you with all its problems and all its concepts and all its junk. It's all up to you. Awaken and be free.
Robert, in regard to your talk today, when I reflect on it, I believe that I am God. What I don't understand is, seeing I am God, how do I let myself get caught up in this trap of thinking that I'm a limited identity with all these problems, etc.?
This all comes from some scars, from all kinds of illusions that you were brought up to believe as a baby. Your training in school and church and your environment, all this has molded you into what you are now. As you keep admitting the truth to yourself, the other begins to dissolve until it's totally gone and only the self remains. Any comments, questions?
I have a comment about, or a suggestion about what you said, told me before when I asked that question. And I think the essence of it is we have to change our belief system. And to do that, we've got to operate from where we are. And I think the only effective technique that's been found for changing a belief system, operating on yourself with no other people involved, is to use subliminal perception. So if anybody's interested, I would suggest we could make a script, and the script would be, I am pure awareness, I am bliss consciousness, so on. And then we would record that with some maybe ocean music, just so it's below that, so you can't hear it. And then we would play these and see what happens.
By all means, that helps you do it.
What, the level that I'm at, I think it would.
Didn't do it.
Okay. Does anybody have a mixer?
Robert, I've heard this term perceptor used before. What does that mean?
What did you hear?
I've heard that term used.
What term?
Preceptor.
The preceptor? Who used that term?
Just in the reading there, the term preceptor was used. I've heard some other teachers say that some teachers operate out of preceptor consciousness, and I was wondering if what that really means.
Who knows? Who cares?
I was curious.
Who wants to know?
I don't know who wants to know.
There is such a word, I don't know what that word means. Look up in the dictionary. I think it has something to do with schooling.
This is the mistake we make. We get involved in these words. Why do we look for words? Look for silence. Be still, be quiet. That's your perception. Quietness. We can look at statements and paragraphs and books and sentences and interpretations of scripture. We can work on these things until we turn blue. I'll never get anywhere.
So
Say what happened to you?
I can't go.
Top and bottom.
The whole idea of spiritual life is to get rid of all these concepts and ideas and words and dogmas. All these things we've carried around for years. We want to free ourselves from these things, become totally light, unburden ourselves of all this. We have to look for new words and new sentences and new meanings. What you're doing is adding on to the garbage. Empty yourself out totally and completely, and you'll be free.
Sure. I have an observation maybe you can comment on. You
sure.
Oftentimes tell me that in reality there is nothing. There is no thing. And the other day I woke up having had a dream, and I was thinking about the dream. And it seemed to me that that dream came out of nothing, was witnessed, and returned to nothing. And it also occurred to me that with a hallucination, either a real one or drug-induced, it arises out of nothing, is witnessed, and returns to nothing. I was reminded of the night that I was telling about having witnessed the riots, or being in a position where I could see the explosions and the great clouds of smoke and the sirens and the helicopters flying overhead, and telling about how frightening it was. And I asked you, you gave me an opportunity to say, had you been there, what would your reaction have been? And you said, it is all within me. And my idea is that when you said that, it wasn't Robert who's sitting in the chair in whom everything appeared. It was you as the universal consciousness, or
you are correct. Only it's not only my pure awareness, it's your pure awareness also.
It's all one.
So whatever is happening to me is happening to you. The only difference maybe is I'm aware of it and you're not.
I'm identified with the body.
With the body and the things of the body.
And that brings on the thing.
Whereas when I see something, I realize it's all happening within me as an image. It's all an image going on. A superimposition on the self.
On the self with a capital S.
Yeah. Whereas you see it as being identified with the problem in the self. As being a part of the problem. As something external from you. That's the difference. So be yourself.
Try. Hope for the best.
Would you like to read the ending, Mary?
Oh, yes. For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him, till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa that is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all and all in the infinite self which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Ralph.
Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to bow to yourself, to pray to yourself. For God dwells where?
In the left foot.
Right north.
In you, as you. Peace. We've got no prasad to eat today.
Cut the flowers.
Until we meet again.
Something rusty.
Oh, that's a prasad, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, we can stay a while longer. Some grapefruit.
Oh,
my God.
Okay.
That's for you.
Oh, how beautiful. Can you take these out and cut them up now? The orange
green.
Green.
Pieces. You've got some nice stuff, too.
You can take the mango home.